That takes us just now 7:36 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Kat Brooks. And on Wednesday, ICE agents flooded the state of Mississippi, arresting nearly 700 immigrants, leaving hundreds of families shattered and children without parent and caregivers. This happened in the wake of the El Paso shootings, which already left many immigrant communities terrified and on edge. As Trump was attempting to visit victims of the El Paso shooting, he was simultaneously unleashing this ICE raid. We have joining us Bill Chandler, the executive director of the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Thank
you
for joining us. We're okay. More importantly, how are you all doing out there? What's it like on the ground in Mississippi right now?
It's very chaotic right now. We have the unions that represents two of the plants is here, and they're helping out the United Food and Commercial Workers. And we have a number of faith-based people that are here, and lots of volunteers from other immigrant rights groups around the region. And we've had people come, attorneys and organizers as far away as Arizona. So, you know, we're overwhelmed, and the whole situation with ICE is really appalling. So that's what we're into right at this moment.
Is there still an ICE agent presence on the ground, or have they disappeared?
I'm sure they're all around. They have been very sneaky. In fact, they when we had our news conference, actually more like a rally on Thursday in the wake of the raids, we understood that they were in the audience, but, you know, we're not sure. But they have been around still. But the thing is that they still have a lot of people locked up. First of all, they say they released 300 people, and they were caregivers of one kind or another, mothers or fathers of children that were in school at the time of the raids or beginning school. And that day was the first day of school for most of them. So you can imagine the hundreds of kids that are traumatized and disoriented as a result of the raids and the removal of their parents from their jobs.
Now, when you say released, they're released pending deportation proceedings. They're just not being held until
then. Well, probably so, but they're released pending court hearings to hear their case. And each of the people, and that includes the 390 plus or minus that are locked up in a new detention facility here in Mississippi, in Natchez, and in Gina, Louisiana, where ICE takes people that they arrest here. There will be the 300 people have ankle monitors, and they will be waiting on court dates, or they have court dates, and they'll be waiting on their hearings. And, you know, they're, you know, roughly around 2 months from now. So, you know, there are people that are not going to be able to work, really not going to be able to provide for their families or go anywhere. And in essence, they're under house arrest, although that's not the official thing. But we're trying to raise money to help support those families. And it's much like a strike. If you all in California have been around strikes, you know that there has to be relief for the families that are on strikes. And in essence, this is the same thing. We've got to raise money for rents. We've got to raise money for food, utilities, you name it, and other obligations they may have. So people can access us through our website, which is www.yourmira, that's yourmira.org.
Bill Chandler, there was a lot of coverage of the children that were left behind as their parents were rounded up and arrested. What about the children whose family members are still being detained? Where are they? What's happening with them? How are they being supported?
Well, a lot of the kids are with relatives and friends. The communities where these raids took place are small. And so a lot of the Latinos that were picked up have relations with other kinds of people, and there's a tremendous amount of concern in the communities, not just with Latinos, but with African-Americans and Anglos, you know, about what has happened to them. The schools are very concerned. Some 200 children have not attended school as a result, and we don't expect that to change because there's still a lot of fear. We have social workers helping out, and we have organizers that are on the ground now knocking on doors of families in the communities where people were taken from. And we're doing this outreach, and we've been doing it ever since the raids to try to connect with the families and make sure they're okay and see what their needs are.
Did you have any inkling that this was coming at all?
There were reports of ICE running around, in particularly in Scott County, where Morton and Forest is. But, you know, you never knew what they were up to. The last raid that we had was 11 years ago in Laurel, Mississippi, at the Howard Industry Plant. And that was 592 people that were arrested. And, of course, it was one location. And we did have... We knew that they were coming. We just didn't know where at the time. So we had a pretty good intelligence network in southern Mississippi, so we knew what was going on. But we thought they were going to raid the poultry industry at that time, but actually they raided Howard, which produces transformers for electrical systems in cities and so on.
Bill Chandler, you talked about, you know, where the immigrants are at, and some of the unions like the UFCW coming forth to organize some support for them. I'm curious about the companies that own the poultry plants. They've just kind of suddenly had their workforce stripped away. Are they at all critical of these raids? Is it somehow something they benefit from, keeping their workforce kind of terrorized and pliant? Where do they land?
You know, there's been reports from a couple plants of management types that are very upset and outraged at it, but we haven't had any kind of official, you know, quote-unquote official response from the corporations that run these plants. But people that work there, that direct the work, are very, very upset, and they have expressed that publicly as well as privately.
How does it land in, like, broader Mississippi politics?
Well, we have a very split state. 40% of the population is African American, and they're inclined to support the rights of migrant workers. 60% are white, and probably about 10 to 12% of them are sympathetic. But we have had a long time very racist governor who probably taught Trump about what was going on, and he has tried to keep, you know, for example, the first wave Central American kids, and there was concern about, you know, where they're going to be taken care of. And there were agencies like Catholic Charities who wanted to help them. And the governor threatened to cut off the state funding they had for that agency if they took any Central American kids. And then later, when there was evident that the United States had the least number of Syrian refugees of any country, and there was talk of bringing Syrians into Mississippi through a refugee program, and the governor basically did his own ban of Syrians from coming here. And ironically, our landlord is a Syrian, and he has had families that he was trying to – he has a family he was trying to bring here. So we, you know, even before Trump – Governor Phil Bryant, who's leaving office now, was very Islamophobic and also very anti-Latino. And Latinos really have had a presence here since the North American Free Trade Agreement, then later the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And so people were, I think, as you know, displaced from their farms. The intent of the NAFTA was to force people out of the rural areas into the urban areas, and there actually was no work in the urban areas. So people started coming here, and our population, according to the census, which is very undercounted, is somewhere around 100,000, but we think there's at least 200,000 people here in Mississippi from Latin American countries, principally Mexicans and Guatemalans, Hondurans, and Salvadoreños. So that's where we're at. But it's been a long struggle of fighting this racism. And we're having elections this year for governor and various other offices, and all of the Republican candidates have been cuddling up to Trump in their political ads. And, you know, it very, very clearly represents the mentality of white supremacist leadership here in Mississippi. And they feel threatened by the growing number of people of color. And they know that sometime in the future, the number of people of color are going to be joining together, or they're already joining together in political movements to try to change the long history of white supremacy that we've had in the state since it was founded over 150 years ago. So what has triggered all of this xenophobia has been basically the threat of the changing demographics, not only in Mississippi, but Louisiana and throughout the Deep South. And there's been a lot of attacks against immigrants here.
Bill Chandler, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. And again, our website is www.yourmira.org. And there's a button there. If somebody wants to contribute a donation, they can do it.
All right. We'll link to your webpage from our show notes a little bit later today. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Bill.
Well, thank you for calling. Pacifica is one of my favorite media outlets. So.
Bill Chandler is Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrants' Rights Alliance. We-